It's a sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
Thanks very much, big voice guy. Yeah, you heard him. TFC Pitchside bringing BMO Field to Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This is me, Dan Riccio. He is Thomas Michalakos. Season 1, Episode 1 of TFC Pitchside. Have a huge show. GM Tim Bezbachenko coming up. And former MLSer, U.S. International, former Defender of the Year in MLS, Jimmy Conrad will join the show as well. Thomas!
New feel, new flavor.
It's a new era. European Football Weekly is donezo.
It's dead.
It's dead. And we are now making this all about your Toronto FC and the MLS, our local team, our local league. Part of the reason, you heard it right there. We have better access to the people at play in this league with this team. Tim Bezbachenko going to join us on the first episode,
which will provide better content.
It will bring you inside access like you've never had before with your Reds. We'll have game reviews every Monday here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The show will air most Mondays at 11 o'clock. Completely dependent, though, on play-by-play commitments for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blue Jays, Raptors, Maple Leafs, they all might bump us to a later slot, but usually it will air at midnight or 1 a.m. at the latest. And, of course, it will be available by podcast pretty much at 5 o'clock every Monday.
Yes, you don't have to stay up to listen.
There will be extras as well. We're going to have an Instagram page, pictures, and all that kind of stuff. We'll have extra podcasts during the week from training, from the Kia training grounds. We'll get one-on-ones. We'll tell you what's happening at training, who's getting injured, who's coming in, what's changing with the team in terms of the lineup on each and every week, maybe the formations changing, and also game previews every Friday as well on the podcast page. So if you subscribe, you'll never miss a damn thing.
Yeah, it'll be as if our listeners will be wearing a media, TFC media badge and following us into the dressing room each and every week.
And we hope to be doing more stuff live from BMO Field as the season goes along as well. But we don't really have to worry about that right now because TFC doesn't play a home game until like forever.
And the roof's not up anyways.
Exactly. The roof's not up and it's still really, really cold here in Toronto in the six. But TFC does have a game this week and it's against the New York Red Bulls.
What are you thinking?
The number one team in the East last year. We'll see if they can continue that. The only team that was scoring more goals than Toronto FC did last year in all of MLS. I believe that is correct. So it should be a fun one. TFC did not, outside of the one where Javinko had the crazy goal right after he got home from the flight playing with the Azzurri on Tuesday, yeah. Shows up Wednesday, 4 o'clock, gets onto the field down at the Rogers Center. Jose Bautista's flipping bats and stuff while Javinko is just undressing every single Red Bulls player. And then it clinches TFC's first ever playoff position. So that was a good one. There was some bad experiences at Red Bull Arena last year.
I'm excited about the new season.
Well, yeah, we're doing a show on it, so you better be excited.
And not because I'm contractually obligated to be excited about this season. I've loved what the TFC has done so far this year, and I'm hoping that, you know what? I don't want to make a bold prediction, Dan. Mm. I don't want to make a bold prediction, but I think I might.
Okay. Are you going to do it now or at the end
right
of the
now.
Show?
Right now.
Okay, do
Supporter
it.
Shield. Boom.
Okay, that's a heavy task for TFC, especially a team starting 8 games on the road. But we'll get more into that. We'll get more into the acquisitions. We'll get more into the people that have left with the general manager of your Toronto FC, Tim Bezbachenko. That's next on TFC Pitchside.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the new member of Toronto FC. Please welcome Jermaine Defoe. And I also want to thank, yes, Drake, who was very active in recruiting. You got to give the boss coot. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce another new member for TFC. And for our fans, please welcome Michael Bradley.
Head coach Ryan Nelson and his entire staff were dismissed and replaced by TFC Academy Director Greg Vanney.
So Toronto FC sell Jermaine Defoe to Sunderland of the Barclays Premier League, and then they buy Jozy Altidore from Sunderland, but in the North American way, a trade is what it is.
Today we are announcing the signing of Sebastian Giovinco, who at just the age of 27 is in his prime and was really pursued by many of the top clubs around the world, followed by his great career at Juventus.
Taken nine coaches, nearly nine seasons, and 288 regular season games. But finally, the Reds are a playoff team in 2015.
Here's a man who needs no introduction for you TFC fans. He's the general manager of your Toronto FC. It's Tim Bezbachenko. Hey, Tim, thanks so much for doing this. Joining us on the premiere of TFC Pitchside. I guess everybody's all well and good on their way back from Orlando.
Yeah, you know, it was nice. We spent the first part of preseason in L.A. for the first time. UC Irvine, we used their facilities, and it was fantastic just kind of getting out to the West Coast, doing some things with the team, as well as sort of team building on the beach was nice. And then we got down to business the second half of preseason in Orlando, had a number of preseason matches, and finished off with a game against Philadelphia on Saturday. So it was a good preseason. Orlando is a nice facility down there where the fields are right next to the hotel, and it allows us to obviously take in the sun, but get down to work for our first game against New York Red Bulls next weekend.
Now, the biggest question that always comes out of training camps is health. And I guess Jozy Altidore maybe has a little hamstring thing. Can you update us on him? Is he going to be ready for the season opener? And if there's anybody else with some bumps and bruises heading into the start of the season?
Yeah. You know, it's always a balance in preseason, as everyone knows, where you're trying to push the players to peak fitness, and you're also trying to fit in as many training sessions as possible. But you know that injuries are part of it. But at the same time, it needs to be a balance, and there needs to be make sure that you're going into the first week of the season with your top guys. And unfortunately, sometimes you're going to go down with injuries. So Jozy has picked up a small minor hamstring injury. We don't know if he'll be ready this weekend. We're hoping we'll get him back. The guys had a regeneration session today. They'll be off tomorrow, and so we'll be able to reevaluate by Wednesday and Thursday. But we know this does not look like a long-term injury, but it's sort of day-to-day right now as for Saturday. But everyone else, we're getting everyone back, and we think that we'll be close to full fitness by the weekend.
Now, this is your third year on the job, so I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, how have you or what have you learned exactly in your first couple years on the job and going into this new season?
Yeah, you know, I think when I came in and, you know, having worked at the league office for a number of years, you obviously see what other people are able to do, and you kind of come in with a plan. And you want to execute on that plan. And I do believe, and I know this is what many say, but I do believe it's true. You know, for a general manager to come in, you want to be evaluated on sort of a 3 to 5 year basis, because it's very difficult to sort of turn over the roster and create a team identity under sort of your vision of how the team should be played in sort of 1 or 2 years. Now, we obviously made under Tim Lewicki, we were able to make some large changes and some big investments in players. But as we know, the 3 designated players don't make your team. So, I would say I wouldn't say anything's different than I thought, but it's really confirmed over the last 3 years that it does take, I would say, a few years to get your roster to a place where you feel like you can compete and be a consistent contender, and we're not there yet, but we're getting there. We're close.
This offseason felt very calculated, and you were talking about having a plan and the 3-year plan. Was this the plan all along, get the DBs in place, and now starting to pick exactly what positions, character guys, bringing in? Was that the plan all along? Because after what happened with Jermaine Defoe, did that kind of put a wrench in the wheel?
No, I don't want to be so smug as to say, what I planned all along is coming to fruition, and it's actually, coming true. But what I would say is this: the plan was we need to reward our fans for their loyalty for the years of sort of pain and suffering of not making the playoffs and that playoffs. And that was to go out big and show that our company and our club is not just all about the bottom line. It's about wins and losses, and that winning is, we're putting a priority on winning first. And that's what the Jermaine Defoe was. That's what Michael Bradley was. And that's what Sebastian Giovinco was. You know, did we make mistakes? Yeah, you could say that Defoe, in some ways, you know, we misread sort of his entire situation with his mother and perhaps maybe his desire to be in Toronto. But what I would tell, and this is what I've been saying to every fan who's asked me, there's no way we get Sebastian Giovinco without Jermaine Defoe, without putting our club on the map globally with Jermaine Defoe, and without learning what we learned through Jermaine Defoe, we would not have gotten the league's MVP. So I would say that certainly was part of the plan. But I think over the next, including this year and over the next 3 years, we're looking to become, I guess the best way to say it is, we don't want to have to rely on our designated players. We want to rely on our academy and the players that we're producing through our own system. And then we can pick and choose when we sign a designated players. We can pick and choose when we're going to make large investments so that they can sort of take us over the top. But I never want to be in a position again where we have to rely entirely on a designated player model to get us to where we need to go.
Tim Bezbachenko, general manager of the Toronto FC, joining us here on TFC Pitchside. Now, I remember Alex Anthopoulos, former Blue Jays GM, being on our station a number of times. And over the course of his career, he talks somewhat about a lot, acquiring talent and focusing on acquiring talent. And then as the years went on, he kind of changed his tune a little bit and how chemistry and character really builds into a team as well. When you look at players that you've brought in this year, Drew Moore, Stephen Betashore, Will Johnson, all those guys bring those types of qualities. Have you had maybe a small epiphany yourself on something like that?
I've kind of always been a culture guy, the question and chemistry guy. I think you're not going to know everything about all the players until you get them in. But I do believe that you need to have a baseline level of talent that I would say it's good enough. And that might change every year, especially in our league where, frankly, each team is getting better each year as our league grows. And it's still, you know, I would say sort of going into the 21st year, it's sort of, we've come leaps and bounds from where we were, I would say, even 3 and 4 years ago. But, you know, the team has to be good enough. There has to be enough talent. But the rest of it, you're right, has to be about chemistry, and it's about the guys coming together and getting momentum. In soccer, I don't know if you were following the Montreal Impact, but, you know, through Drogba, obviously, he was the talent that they brought in. But it was more about the momentum they were able to create, and you could see the chemistry within their team. We have to be able to find that chemistry and find that culture. And certainly the guys we brought in, we know we did the background checks and the due diligence. We knew that they're character guys. But I would say that they're also talent guys that are going to get us to that good enough threshold.
Speaking of that, how important was the Will Johnson signing because of his leadership qualities, because of what he brings to the dressing room?
You know, look, Will's a fighter. And he's been there and done it when you need to be fighting. It's one thing to fight in the first 17 games of the year. It's another to be able to do it the second 17 games and then in the playoffs. And he's won it, the championship, on two teams. So I think it was a significant signing for us. We've already seen some of the benefits in training in terms of the level he brings, what he demands from other players, but also how he communicates his expectations to players. It's not just about yelling and screaming. It's about putting your arm around a younger player or letting them know they can go into a tackle because you got their back. So he's been a substantial influence in our locker room, and we're glad that he, you know, in a way he chose us, that, you know, in terms of, he had a couple of options down the stretch in terms of the way that this trade happened. And so we're glad that he put TFC first on the top of his list.
One of the players going out the door recently was Luke Moore, waived by you and the club. I found it to be an interesting move because Luke, even though in sparse opportunities last year, did provide a lot when some of the guys were out or on international duty. And in a year where the European competition is going to take Giovinco away, we think, for a little bit of time, and also the Copa America taking away Josie and Michael as well. It seemed like a year where that type of depth would be needed.
Yeah, you know, the Luke Moore is this tough situation where we brought in a number of players. You know, scoring goals was not our issue last year. We were right up there with the top handful of teams in the leagues in scoring. For us, it was about being targeted and addressing our needs. With the salary cap, you can't have the best depth in all positions in our league. Major League Soccer, we have a $3-6 million cap, and then you have the DPs on top. But unfortunately, when you're in the global game of soccer, most players around the world make one player individually makes what our entire salary cap is. So you have to make choices, and we felt like we needed to address the defensive side, and it came at a cost of Luke Moore. But you know, on the flip side, I would also say that we're trying to grow through our academy as well as sort of our draft players and the formation we're going to be playing this year. There's a number of factors of why we felt it was best to sort of part with Luke. We want to make sure that there is a pathway for some of the younger guys and some of the younger forwards and midfielders to come in. And Luke, you know, Luke sort of played in the pocket a little bit coming back into the midfield, and we felt like we had some players that could sort of assume some of the responsibilities that Luke had.
So yeah, I heard you mention the formation there, Tim. What is the formation going to be this year, and how do we expect to see the Reds play come Sunday against the Red Bull?
You know, we're looking at a couple different formations.
Without giving away state secrets, of course.
Yeah, no. Look, it's what I would say is again, we got 8 games on the road, and what we've learned last year is we're going to take a little different approach, and I really challenged our coaching staff and our guys to value every point. Meaning, you know, do we think we can win every game 100%? But getting out with a draw in our league is also a good thing. I think the most wins a team had in our league last year on the road was 7. So it's very difficult to win on the road. So, you know, the lineup that we want to put out, we want to be tough to beat. We want to be tough to get scored on. And so, you know, I'm not going to give away the formation here, but I do want to make sure we put out a team that understands their defensive responsibilities, and then ultimately the formation will be up to Greg and the coaching staff.
The goal was the playoffs last year. Now, 8 points in 8 games was the total set by President Bill Manning for Coach Greg Vanney. Are we aiming higher? I mean, the bar was set a little bit higher from last season. Where are we going this year?
You know, I think you want to show progress. I think each year we've set records for a number of wins, a number of points, and number of goals. I mean, we want to take the club to new heights, and eventually our vision, and we want to be a consistent contender. Where we fall when all is said and done, I can't really tell, but I do know that this group is ready to take the next step. I think that qualifying for the playoffs is one thing, but we want to host a game. Do we want to win the Supporters Shield? Absolutely. Do we want to win MLS Cup? Absolutely. I think that we're all in this to win it. But I would like to see the bar grow each year so that we're showing steady progress. You know, I don't think we have any sort of specifics in mind that we're sharing publicly, but we have our internal goals that we're setting, and it's not just wins and losses. It's across the board, in terms of young, you know, minutes for our young players, you know, wins at home, things like that. I think there's a whole bucket of things that we're looking at, but we certainly want to show progress each year.
Tim Bezbachenko, our guest here on TFC Pitchside, one of those young players that's come in, 9th overall pick, Tsubasa Endo, already signed to an MLS contract last week. Seemed to be impressing in camp. Early thoughts on the newcomer to TFC?
Yeah, Tsubasa is shown a level of professionalism that you rarely see, I think, for a rookie or a player right out of college. He's a very intelligent player in the way that he runs off the ball. And when you're playing with guys like Michael Bradley or Sebastian Giovinco, Josie Altidore, Benoit Giroux, if you're making intelligent runs, these guys will find you. And he's able to get into difficult positions, and he forces the defense to make decisions. So we like his work rate, his professional attitude, and he was rewarded with a contract. So, you know, I think in our league, frankly, the draft is showing, in some ways a lesser degree of importance because of the homegrown system, and what we've seen is over the last 3 years, it's really been the top five picks are the guys that are really producing. But we think that we found one in the number nine slot, and only time will tell. It's still very early, but we think that Tsubasa Endo has a lot of potential.
My count shows that there's one roster spot still available. Now, are we going to try to fill that with another player, like a signing, or are we looking at maybe some of the youth coming in, whether it be from the academy or the draft?
You know, we're still weighing that out. I mean, the roster slots, you can actually leave a couple open because you can spread the money over a fewer players. So the 18-man roster is pretty much set. There's what we call off budget. So there's the 18-man roster that goes against your $3.6 million, and then there's your off budget roster. And teams decide sometimes to sign five guys. Sometimes they can sign. You can sign up to eight guys on that roster. So we're still trying to figure that out. We certainly are looking at sort of three to four players on our TFC2 and in our academy. Hopefully they can come up and fill that slot. But we're also looking at one international player right now, as well as we're talking to a couple teams. So we're still evaluating it. Sometimes it comes down to money. Sometimes it's the roster slots. But right now we seem to be okay on the roster side of things.
Now I hear international spot and I get all excited. Can you give us something? This is our debut show. Can you give us a little bit, something for the fans? Come on.
Something for the fans. I feel like, you know, what we've said already is getting them excited for the first game about how returning MVP, about, you know, our number ninth pick is doing well. But so I know it acquisitions are the sexy thing, but you know, to me, the sexy thing is bringing in the tried and true veterans, Drew Moore, Clint Irwin, Will Johnson, Canadian international. I feel like we're delivering on that end. Hopefully they can deliver on the pitch for the fans.
As for TFC2, you mentioned it a couple times there, Tim. Molan Babouli was a guy I got out. I live right near the stadium there, so I check out as many games as I can. He's really a young, exciting player, as is Jordan Hamilton. I know Greg Vanney talked about this being a big year for both of them. Will we see them on the senior squad?
You know, they certainly have the opportunity. I think at some level, the way we do it is we set the opportunity for them and then they have to earn it. No guy's going to be handed a gift. It's everyone has to earn it. Mo has done well this preseason, so we're looking at things for him in terms of an evolution over the roster to possibly add him over the next period of time. Jordan's obviously already on an MLS contract, so it's just a matter of producing. You know, I think for us, it's Jordan. We want to see him score goals with TFC2, and we want to set this culture that you got to be able to do it with TFC2 before you do it with the first team. So, you know, I think in some ways they got to produce a little bit more, but we like what we've seen so far.
General Manager of Toronto FC, our guest Tim Bezbachenko here on TFC Pitch Side. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. The new renovations coming to BMO Field, the roof partially going on last week. It's all coming together and it looks great. What do you think what element does this add to your team for this year?
That's massive. I think the environment in BMO Field has always been one of the best in the league, especially when the fans fill up the place and they hold up their scars for the national anthem. I mean, it's really a place that we already know the other teams don't like coming to. So once you add in the roof, you know, it's going to trap more of the sound. One of the things I'm excited about is the TIFO that we'll be able to hang from the ceilings, our supporters will be able to hang. That's a unique aspect. Obviously, the soccer fans know that around the world and in our league, places like Portland, you know, there's these massive banners, you know, 50 by 200 feet signs that supporters create themselves, and the fans in the stadium can create messages to the players or the opposing team. And I think that with sort of the passionate crowd that we have, I think it's going to create a unique environment down by the river, down by the lake. So it's going to be really excited. I know the players talk about it every day. You know, that first week of May is going to be a special time for the club.
I really appreciate you coming on here today, Tim, and really giving us your time and being on the premiere of TFC Pitchside. We at Sportsnet are very happy to have this show getting on the air. But given that the stadium is getting all these renos, it's going to be all great and stuff. When is an MLS All-Star game coming back to Toronto?
Yeah, we're asking the same question. I think we're working on it. I think that there's a number of teams that have sort of got their dibs on the All-Star game. I think it's related to expansion and all the, you know how quickly we're expanding. It's incredible the pace that our league is expanding. So there's a lot of, I think the All-Star game seems to have been taken by a couple of those teams, but maybe we can sneak our way in.
That would be great. And I'm sure the fans here in Toronto would certainly love it. I know they were at the airport today already getting excited, bringing in the guys from Orlando. Tim, really appreciate you doing this. And again, we'll be watching all season long. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me and congrats on the kickoff.
All right, there he is, general manager of Toronto FC, Tim Bezbachenko. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. You're listening to TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.ca. All right, so let's react a little bit because there was some interesting snippets there from Tim Tom.
Plenty of interesting snippets.
That's weird. I got a Tim Tom. No, it's there was some interesting snippets from Tim there, Thomas.
Yeah, you needed a pause.
Yeah,
that's what it
okay.
was.
Okay, so that sounds a little bit better for you. First off, was that the first ever, I guess...
not really the first...
confirmation that there was problems with Jermaine Defoe and his mom?
From the team, for sure.
Yeah.
It has to be from the team.
I know Kurt Larson had the great exclusive story in the Toronto Sun that broke it, and it went absolutely bonkers. But I've never heard a TFC official say that.
No, and I really wanted to follow up on that one.
we had to let it just breathe there, you know?
That's why I have you as the host there, man.
Yeah, I mean, it almost felt like he didn't realize what he was saying.
you think?
I don't know, but maybe he did purposely say that, but because it's now time has passed and we do kind of know what happened.
Old wounds have mended.
Yeah, old wounds have maybe mended. But it's nice to get that little confirmation there. That
the reality
that
of
was
the situation.
Part of the problem there with Jermaine Defoe. And like Tim said, it turned out to be all for the better with this club because Sebastian Giovinco did come in.
Do you really want a player that has mama problems?
Yeah, probably not. International player possibly coming in.
Yes, I tried. Dan, I tried.
I know you tried, but we all knew that he wasn't going to say
of
anything
course.
More than that.
Of course.
So TFC interested in some sort of international player. That's a very interesting part of this. When he mentioned Jordan Hamilton, I also asked about Molan Babouli, but he didn't mention Molan Babouli. I have a sneaky feeling that Molan Babouli is going to get an MLS contract.
He's already accounted for.
Yeah.
In his mind.
The way he's played, the way he played last year with TFC 2, very exciting player.
It's interesting how we're speculating a lot, mm-hmm. but yeah, he gave us some good snippets where there's room there, and you're hoping that he's not thinking like the Jermaine Defoe question and might just throw the player's name out or tell us about Babouli, but nope.
Yeah.
He's a seasoned pro.
And finally, the other thing that really stuck out for us, the TIFOs coming to BMO Field. So what I kind of want is I want the Inebriati. I want the Red Patch Boys, U Sector, all the guys, all the different supporter groups. Send me an email, dan.riccio@sportsnet590.ca. Let me know if you've already known that. If you didn't, I'm kind of wondering why. And also, I want to know what kind of plans that you guys have set for the season. And maybe throughout the year, we'll bring you on the show and kind of get a feel for what's to come at BMO Field each and every week.
Because I really want to stress this. We really want to get the supporters part of the show.
Yes.
It's important for the team. It's important for the fan base, everything. So, yeah, we're interested in the TIFOs. And will or will they not be proofread beforehand? Question.
Well, no Argos at BMO wasn't proofread. It was allowed at the stadium outside of the home opener. And the Argos are still going to play at BMO.
And it was asked to be taken down.
Yeah.
And then you're given free beer.
But it was civil. Yeah, it was very civil.
So what will stop fans from just bringing crazy signs just to get loaded on free beer?
That would be awesome. You can also tweet us at DanRiccio590 or at UnfitRef. When we come back on TFC Pitchside, former MLSer, former MLS Defender of the Year, U.S. International. He is Jimmy Conrad. Can't wait to talk to him. It's the debut, the premiere. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, TFC Pitchside.
Follow the guys on Twitter at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef. This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Again, as Bruce alluded to before, I think Conrad Bocanegra is definitely a guy that has to be a major target on this play.
Number four for the United States. And he sends it in.
Golazo, 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 golazo. We're back here on TFC Pitchside. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos, and that was Jimmy Conrad with the goal. That was back in 2007. So he's a little older than 30 now. Late bloomer, as you heard on the...
Yeah, I want to know if he's going to have a problem with that.
What made you a late bloomer, Jimmy?
I think if we're going to be serious, maybe just a little bit of a belief in myself that I actually could play, you know, with the big boys and do it consistently and hold my own. And once you get that belief, once you get in there and you're like, hey, these guys just pass the ball like you do, and they're making the same kind of decisions that you do, then it's easy to grasp that. But it's if you're not in that situation, if you don't ever get called in, it's hard to know if you can hang with the best of the best.
So four-time MLS Best 11, 2005 MLS Defender of the Year, once traded jerseys with Andrea Pirlo at a World Cup. 2014, named a sporting legend for Sporting KC, but now you've reached the pinnacle. You're on the debut of TFC Pitchside, Jimmy.
Exactly. I mean, it's all come together. This is really the apex of my career. I think it's all downhill after this.
So this is 20 years of MLS. We're celebrating that anniversary this year. You started back, I think 1998 was your first year. I mean, I can't even imagine what it was like back then, especially for us Canadians. I mean, we didn't really get introduced to the MLS all that much until 2007.
Yeah, when I came in my rookie year, I was unheralded because I was a late bloomer, like you guys mentioned, and I made $24,000 my rookie year, living in Silicon Valley at the height of like the internet boom. So I had about $300 to my name at the end of the year, and I don't know, it really wasn't about the money at that point. I played a year in the A-League prior to that, and I made $800 a month.
Wow.
So it was like double my salary. But I did it because I loved to play, and it was a dream that I was trying to chase, and obviously it materialized in some really special moments for me and my family and getting to realize dreams. But it's come such a long way. I remember when I was in San Jose my rookie year, we had to drive to Spartan Stadium, which is a college football stadium, change there, and then drive 30 minutes down to this, basically a youth field, practice there, and then if you had to go back to the stadium, you could, or you could change out of the trunk of your car and then drive back, you know? So little tiny things like that, which make you feel like a professional, goes a long way towards acting like a professional when you're on the field. And a lot of the subtle changes, those kind of subtle changes have been made. I don't know if that's that subtle, but it's come such a long way from... I don't know, not just like amateur decisions, because I feel like I don't want to throw anybody in the bus, let's say under the bus in San Jose, because they were trying to do the best they could with what they had. And what they had at the time was the best they could avail, that was available to them to offer to us. So all I can say is that David Beckham coming into the league in 07 was a watershed moment, because he forced the league to start acting like a big boy league, start treating players respect and professionalism and not taking advantage of them just because, like I was when I was a rookie, I just loved to play and would do anything to do that.
You spoke about, you know, having belief in yourself and you know, being a late bloomer, I don't believe what that announcer said about you. I just want to put that out there right now. But nowadays, these players that are playing, yeah, the league has developed and you feel like a professional because the environment's very professional. But do you think the players get kind of starstruck now with the talent that's on the field? Would that hinder their progress, given from your experiences?
Potentially. I would say that there's some guys that would be starstruck. You know, if I came into the league now and Andrea Pirlo was on my team, yeah, I'd be in awe of that guy, but I'd also be peppering them with questions all the time. I got to play with Richard Goff my rookie year in San Jose, and, you know, he was a legend for Scotland and played in so many big games, and I couldn't drive to practice with him enough because I just wanted to, you know, what was it like to play against this guy? What was it like to play in this game? And I think he got tired of me because he left about 6 months later. But his number one piece of advice for me was to put out fires before they started. And I didn't really understand it that much. I got the sense of it, but I guess you saw a few plays where I would just jog to the ball, and because I had enough time to jog to the ball. But he was like, "No, you got to go 100 miles an hour all the time. Not to rush, not to hurry, but you got to get there first. You got to give yourself more time. When you give yourself more time on the ball, it's going to give one of your teammates more time. And then it's also putting guys in front of you to make plays, so that ultimately, when I was a center back, it was easier for me to play my position. So, you know, it was really nice to get that advice. And so if any young guys are listening, you know, just ask those guys questions. Don't be shy. They want to talk. They want to give back. They wouldn't come over here, especially to MLS, and not feel like they were going to help build something special. So I just couldn't get enough of asking those guys. Now, where I think the young guys might have a bit of issues is that now when they come into the league, they only see top-class facilities. They get to travel a lot better than we ever did, and they don't have that compare and contrast, whereas the guys that kind of lived through it and then had the benefit of seeing all of these positive things start to happen, there was an appreciation from where we had come from. But now they start off in a really nice spot, so maybe they lose a little bit of that hunger, that little bit of that drive to survive, if you will, because a lot of guys, well, when I was a rookie too, there was only 18 roster spots. You had to make the 18 or that was it. There was no extra, all these extra positions or, you know, youth spots or whatever it may be. So that really made it a lot more challenging to make the team. And so I think at times they might take it a little bit easy. And then at some point, you know, you get to 22, 23, you know, your coach is going to ask you need to start breaking into the first team. And if you're not at that point, then I would be worried.
Jimmy Conrad, our guest here on TFC Pitch Side. So we're going to play a game with you called Contenders or Pretenders. But first, I want to ask you this. Like, when the league did start, in those first few years from 96 to the early 2000s, I guess, who were some of the guys that kept this league afloat in terms of, aside from yourself, of course, who were some of those guys?
Well, Landon Donovan coming back to the league in 2001
right.
was a big deal. You know, he had a lot of cachet. He still had a lot of hype coming out of the youth national teams and playing well at the U-17 World Cup. So he came back, and I think, well, he came back to my team, thankfully. We won MLS Cup. But he really kind of set the bar that good players can come here at an early age and play well, and he did that. Other guys, you had Marco Echeverry. You had Carlos Valderrama. Who else? Jaime Moreno was excellent. There was a couple other guys. I mean, Diego Serna was another guy who scored, like, bunches of goals. And so there were a few guys that had name recognition. That could keep the league afloat. Tony Miola, you know, we had a lot of U.S. internationals as well, John Harkes. So it did enough, but it just needed to have that one guy, that one spark. And really, we could say David Beckham, but it really does come back to Tim Leiweke, who had the idea of the designated player and giving some flexibility to owners to go out and buy the players they wanted to buy. And that rule change has really had a shift in mindset for the owners, as evidenced by the fact that you can buy now 4 designated players per team, where they want to have some options, that they want to be able to spend their money and go get players that they want to buy, which the way the MLS is set up, sometimes it limits you in what you do, what you can and can't do. I think the David Beckham moment was really the change. And ultimately, from a casual fan perspective, made MLS like a water cooler topic. People are like, hey, did you see that Beckham was there? And his first year was a circus. And he came to town to Kansas City, and I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, he wouldn't play here in Toronto with the turf. It upset
That's
everybody.
Right, he wouldn't. Yeah, Him and Thierry Henry, probably. Yeah.
Speaking of games in Toronto, I think the watershed moment for the MLS was 2008 All-Star game. MLS All-Stars.
We can argue.
3-2 over West Ham United. Jimmy Conrad right there alongside Dwayne DiRosario and Landon Donovan.
Captain, too.
That was great. Yeah, Stevie Nichol was the coach, and his captain was on the team, Charlie Joseph, and he asked me to be captain. I couldn't believe it. I think everybody else was pretty surprised. But to be the captain of that team was a big honor for me. I don't talk about it all that much because people want to talk about the World Cup or my goal against Mexico, as they should. But having that respect from Steve Nichol and then from the rest of the guys on the team, because Blanco was on there, Beckham was on there, as you mentioned, Dwayne and Landon and Shawry, and it was an incredible roster of guys. Juan Pablo Angel was another one. So to be named captain was an incredible honor and something I'll never forget. But yet, I probably haven't said that Toronto FC and their arrival into the league was a big deal, too, and how they supported their team, building their own stadium right away, coming out of the gates with a lot of fervor and desire and really wanting to try to set like a benchmark of how fans should support. And I feel like, and Seattle gets a lot of the credit, and they should in some ways, but Toronto was there first. And I thought marketed the right way. They were hitting the young professionals as opposed to soccer moms. And I think that really changed the tide for how MLS moving forward about how this league is going to grow and evolve.
Yeah, and we here in Toronto didn't think the team would last at first. And then, lo and behold, all those crazy supporters who have stuck around through all these horrible years with the team, they're still around somehow, some way. They've been faithful. And, hey, I guess that's what being a fan is all about. And that's kind of what the MLS is, like you said, now kind of been built on is their hardcore fans. And it's been it's been a lot of fun. But now we must do it. Contenders or pretenders? We'll shout a team name at you and you tell us, Jimmy, who you think is a contender or pretender. And just a quick snippet maybe of why you think they are a contender or pretender. So first up,
this is all MLS teams.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna like shout out FC Krasnodar or something like that.
I'm just making sure. I didn't know if because this league is built on parity, so we could argue that everybody has a chance.
That is true. Yeah.
Good point.
Okay, that was my preface. But go ahead, I'll still answer you.
All right, contender or pretender, Toronto FC.
Total contender. When you have someone like Seba Jovinko on your team, the guy's a game changer. My fear, though, is that teams prepared for him last year going, oh, this guy isn't that. He can't be that good. And then he dropped 2 goals on him. So this year, teams knowing that they've had a whole offseason to prepare for him, I think it'll be a little bit more difficult for him despite his talent. And not because he won't be able to get the space to do what he wants to do. I think teams, if they're smart, will just high-press everybody else so they can't pick up their head to find Jovinko in space. And if they can do that and Jovinko gets a limited look at the ball, then it's going to be difficult for Toronto. But at the same time, I think they have a lot to build off of. They have a lot of talent. They've upgraded in some key areas, and I liken them to be first or second in the East.
Next up, Montreal Impact.
Pretender.
Oh, okay. Yeah. TFC fans will like hearing that.
There's just a really quick snippet. Drogba's commitment, super guy, but his head doesn't seem to be in the right place. Maybe over the course of the season, I'm not so sure. And I don't know. I'm going to say pretender right now.
Whitecaps. We'll go through all the Canadiana teams.
Yeah, thanks. I say contender. I really like what Carl Robinson's done there. The West is very, very tough. I think there's a lot more wiggle room in the East to kind of find your way and have 10 or 15 games to kind of figure out your identity of your team. But I think Vancouver has it. I like his emphasis on youth. I think he's added a few key pieces like Blas Perez, and I'm going to say a contender.
Red Bulls, was their supporter shield or their first place in the East a mirage last year?
No, I'm going to say contender. I'm a big Jesse Marsh fan. I think he's a great coach. I think he's very well organized. But similar to what Toronto faced last year, their success last year is going to be a predicator for the success this year. I think people are going to figure out New York a little bit, so they have to work a little bit harder to have the same kind of success. But I think they're a contender.
Seattle Sounders, how much does losing Oba Martins hurt them?
I'm going to say contender, but I'm a little bit in the middle because, as you say, with Martins leaving, they didn't sell him for that much. I mean, everybody was buying high over in China, and then Martins seemed to go low. So you have to wonder a little bit about that decision, if they just want to get him off the books or if the player was forcing the move. But really, it's going to be contingent on Jordan Morris. I mean, if that kid can show up and play well, that's just going to free up more space for Clint Dempsey to do his thing and just going to have a lot more success for the whole team. So I'm going to say contender, but it's really it's on Jordan Morris at this point.
I'm guessing the Galaxy is pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, that's a contender. It's always a contender. We can talk about all the players and
the Real Madrid of the West, I like to call it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they take pride in that. That's the best part. But the Ashley Cole signing was really weird for me. He's definitely on the wrong side of 30. I don't know exactly what he brings that you couldn't get from somebody younger, obviously some experience. But to pay him that amount of money, you could go get five really good, solid guys that could fill out your roster and have you compete in multiple competitions. But, yeah, they're a contender, if only because I really love Bruce Arena as a manager.
And the Galaxy coming to Toronto for the first time in forever, and it will be right on our network here at Sportsnet. Finally, last one, and I'll lump them together. New York City FC and Orlando City, the two expansion teams from last year. Is one of them a contender?
No, I'm not. No, neither one of them is a contender yet. I'm Patrick Vieira, incredible career as a player. Most foreigners don't do particularly well when they come over to MLS. They do fine, I think, to start for the first couple months, and they realize they can't. What do you mean I can't just go buy that player that I want to buy? I don't really understand what's going on here. We've seen it over and over and over. Maybe he had a year buffer watching Jason Christ go through last year, but I'm not so sure. And Lampard and Pirlo aren't getting any younger as much as I love both of those guys. So I still think they're in a year of transition. And then Orlando, with the signing of Nocerino, I think that helps them out a lot. I think they'll sneak into the playoffs, but I don't know if that makes them a contender. I just think they'll sneak into the playoffs.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Jimmy Conrad, on Snapchat. And by the way, he's one of the best Snapchat guys around, at Simi Johnrad. Simi Johnrad. And on Instagram, at Jimmy Conrad. Your first appearance, and you were already requesting music on the show. We love it, and we can't wait to talk to you all season long, Jimmy.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There he is, Jimmy Conrad on TFC Pitchside. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. You can follow us on Twitter at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef. A lot of stuff came out of that from Jimmy Conrad, and we are ecstatic to have him as a part of this show throughout the year, as we'll have many people to be a part of this show. As we mentioned earlier, we want to have you supporter groups coming on regularly, maybe once a month. We'll cycle through you all. That would be great. Also, we're going to have Marco D'Onofrio come on the show, and he's going to be helping us out from pitch side as you work during the day like a normal person, Thomas.
Yes, I do.
He writes for Soccer 360, does Marco D'Onofrio. So he'll join us midweeks from the training pitch. We'll have Kurt Larson. We'll have a whole bunch of people coming on the show, and we hope to provide you a lot of the big names.
It's a collective
from around the
it's
league
a collective
as well.
Of content.
It would be awesome to get Patrick Vieira on at some point. We'll try. We don't know if it'll happen, but it would be great.
Maybe even Stevie G.
One thing to note for sure is MLS Fantasy League. Now, I'll be tweeting out the league throughout the week, but if you want an inside scoop, the league ID for MLSsoccer.com, the name is TFC Pitchside. And the number is 10085-2417. Did you get that, Thomas?
I have it right here on my sheet.
It'll be in our show description as well.
And we could tweet it out for everyone,
so you won't miss it. And of course, subscribe to the show, because as we said, there's going to be a lot of extras on the podcast. We did go a bit long there with Jimmy Conrad, so we'll air the full interview only on the podcast form. Otherwise, everything else gets aired on Sportsnet 590 The Fan when it does air.
And it's going to be a normal occurrence. Sometimes when we go heavy, there'll be extra on the podcast version.
Exactly. So that's the debut. That's the premiere. One final thing we'll be doing on the show every week, Thomas. The music. Radio shows don't often do this, but we will. Want to thank Cardinal Official, Noah 40, Shahib, and Tone Mason, Daft Punk, Young Fathers, that was Jimmy's song that he requested, and Tenor Saw for everything that they've provided to the show today. And of course, producer Emil Delich putting all that together.
And we would always get fielded questions about, you know, what, who picked that song and where can we get this song from our listeners?
So this is a producer Bozy over there. He's a music scholar.
So this is a great way for them to know.
So we'll always tell you what music is on the show each and every time you do hear it. For Thomas Michalakos, I'm Dan Riccio. This has been the first edition, season one, episode one.
Ring the alarm.
TFC Pitch Side.
Ring the alarm. Another sound is dying. Whoa. Hey. Ring the alarm. Another sound is dying. Whoa. Hey. Some sound sound like a big jump on. Listen to the sound. It's a champion. Rock the dance in any session. Rock up the woman and rock up the man. Ring the alarm, another sound is dying. Whoa, hey.